We open our Bibles tonight and turn in the Word of God to Joshua 2. Joshua 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." The men answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." The men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made unto us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Our text this evening is found in Hebrews 11, verse 31. Won't be found in this account, although we'll be making a lot of references to Joshua 2. But our actual text is going to be found in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. After her rebellion, Miriam wandered together with the nation of Israel for another approximately 38 years in the wilderness. While still in the wilderness, several years before Israel conquered Canaan, Miriam died. She died at Kadesh Barnea. Now the nation of Israel stood on the brink of the promised land. She had conquered all the kings and their kingdoms east of the Jordan River, Og and Sihon, king of the Amorites. These were mighty kingdoms and were made up of many different giants. God had given Israel the victory over these foes, and now three tribes of Israel possessed their lands on the east side of the Jordan River. Aaron had now also died and was buried at Mount Hor. Moses died on Mount Nebo. Joshua had now replaced Israel as the leader of that nation. He led the nation of Israel to a place called Shittim, a few miles north of the Dead Sea and yet on the east side of the Jordan River. From this camp, Joshua sent out two men to search out the land west of the Jordan River. That included one of the most powerful cities in all of the land of Canaan, a city called Jericho. In this city, we meet the next woman of faith that we consider in our series tonight. That is Rahab. From Eve, the mother of the living, to wives of the patriarchs, Sarah and Rebecca, to the bondage of Egypt, where we met Shifra and Puah, to the wanderings in the wilderness, where we considered the sin of Miriam, now to the conquest of Canaan. Rahab stands out in this list among God-fearing women, and she stands out because Rahab was not an Israelite. She was a woman born out of the cursed son of Ham, that is, Canaan. Rahab was a Canaanite through and through. The account before us tonight, therefore, reveals that although God saves in the line of the generations of believers, nevertheless, He also is gracious to graft others into that line of His covenant too. Rahab was grafted into God's church and covenant at a time, that just did not happen very often. So she holds a unique place among these women of faith in that line that we are studying on Sunday evenings. As we mentioned, the conquest of Canaan was just about to begin. Israel was poised to cross over the Jordan River now and into the land of Canaan. Jericho would be the first city that would be utterly destroyed by the armies of Israel. But the account of our text tonight took place prior to that defeat of the city of Jericho. We focus our attention on those two men sent to search out the country, the land surrounding Jericho, as well as Jericho itself. Our theme is simple. The story is not. We consider the faith of Rahab. In first place, we want to consider the meaning of that. What was this faith of Rahab? Secondly, her works. And thirdly, her salvation. Faith of Rahab, her faith, her works, and her salvation. As we noticed, Rahab was a Canaanite woman, probably of the particular line of the Jebusites that lived in that particular area in central Canaan. Jericho was a horribly wicked city, which means that Rahab, being a part of that city, participated in the sins of that city, the idol worship, and all of the fornication that surrounded it. We are told in our text, as well as in Joshua, that Rahab was a harlot. That means she was a woman who sold her body for sexual favors. She was a woman of ill repute, one that we would label today as a prostitute. Her home was a place for her fornications. In fact, from the account we read in Joshua, it appears that it was a place where men would pay to lodge, either for a few hours or perhaps even overnight. It might even have been advertised as such in the city. Since the two spies of Israel, not knowing where to go to lodge for the evening, saw her particular home and decided to lodge there. It's for that reason that some commentators like to say of Rahab that she was not actually a harlot at all, but that Rahab was an innkeeper. She ran a motel of sorts. But the term harlot, both in the Hebrew and Greek, cannot be mistaken. Rahab was a prostitute. Her home was used for the specific purpose of her practicing her illicit profession. And neither can it be said, and as usual, there are some that say this, that these two spies had stopped there for a short time for their own pleasure. The spies were unfamiliar with the city of Jericho, and seeing a place to lodge, they stopped there with no intent at all of indulging in their own lusts. And the account before us gives no reason to anyone for that kind of an impression. From the account here in Hebrews 11, as well as the account of James in James 2, verse 25, we find that Rahab was a believer. We read in James 2, verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" Now we well understand, of course, that the life of a harlot and the life of a believing young woman are incompatible with one another. A young woman cannot be both a harlot and a believer at the same time. That tells us something, of course, of Rahab. God had worked in her heart at some point. We cannot be exactly sure when that took place. It could very well have taken place just shortly after Israel conquered the kings east of the Jordan River, because it was right around at that time that the word was spread, circulated among the heathen nations within Canaan itself of what Jehovah God had done for the nation of Israel. In the crossing of the Red Sea and the destruction of the land of Egypt, and now close by on the other side of the Jordan River with the overwhelming victories over the kings of the Amorites, Sihon, king of Bashan, and Og, or Sihon, and then Og, king of Bashan. These men probably themselves were giants, if not them, then many in their own realm and among their own soldiers were giants. And we find that the nation of Israel, because of God himself, won the victory over those great nations. And that left the people in the land of Canaan trembling. It could very well have been that already at that time God had worked now in the heart of this young woman, that she was indeed converted becomes evident in the conversation she has a little bit later on with the spies after she hid them. We read of that here in the account in Joshua 2. We read, beginning at verse 9 of Joshua 2, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord," and the Lord is capitalized there. She's using the name Jehovah here. "I know that Jehovah hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now notice, for Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my sisters and my brothers and myself." Notice especially that part that we emphasized in verse 11. "I know Jehovah your God. He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." I know that. That was evidence of the faith now of Rahab. My gods and those gods of the land are not gods of heaven and earth. Jehovah is God of heaven and earth. And further, she makes the spies swear to her, not by the name of her gods or the gods of the land, but by the name of Jehovah himself, that they will show mercy unto her and to her household. So sometime in her life, just prior to this visit of the spies, God had turned her heart, had turned her from that horrible sin of fornication in which she had involved herself, and now to the commandments of God. That's faith. Faith always comes with repentance. She must have repented and turned from her sin, and in faith now embraced the God of Israel. What stands out here, both in the account of Hebrews 11 as well as in James 2, verse 25, is the faith of Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. In all the instances that are recorded for us in this chapter of Hebrews 11, that aspect of faith that is emphasized is the activity of faith. True faith is active. You see, initially, when a child of God is brought to salvation, sometimes without him or her even knowing it, mind you, God works in the heart the ability to believe, the power or the potential to believe. And God does that by taking that sinner and grafting that sinner into our Lord Jesus Christ. And the result is the life of Jesus Christ, the life that is from above, is now worked in the heart of a child of God. So his thoughts and his desires become renewed or recreated. The power of faith worked in the very depths of the heart of a child of God transforms him. And it transforms him or her from an unbeliever to a believer. He is actuated by that new life that Jesus Christ has worked in him, and he comes to a conscious knowledge of and confidence in God. That knowledge and confidence is the activity of faith, that God works in the life and in the heart of a believer. And as we mentioned, it reveals itself immediately by a disdain now for that sin that we may have been walking in. Now all of a sudden, sin repels us. And faith, the activity of faith, causes one to turn away from sin in repentance and sorrow and turn to God himself. Seek salvation from him. Now, that faith, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Rahab's faith became evidence to her. Couldn't see that evidence, but it became evidence to her that Jehovah God was the God of heaven and earth. That he reigned alone in the heavens over all creatures. She could not see him with these eyes. She could only see him with the eyes of faith. But he was real. And he was God and God alone. Faith became sight to her. Or to put it another way, faith was the spiritual eyes that made her see Jehovah God and confess his name. Furthermore, faith was evidence to her that the Canaanites were going to be destroyed. She had no doubt about that in her mind. She had heard of that great God and what he had done. And there was no doubt in her mind that God was going to give the victory not only to Israel over Jericho, but over all of the land of Canaan. She didn't see it happen as of yet, but her faith was evidence to her of that fact. It was a substance of things hoped for as well. This prostitute, this harlot, hoped. Probably against hope itself, that God would forgive her of her sins and that he would be able to make her a part of that nation of Israel, his church in this world. She hoped for that, and faith was the substance of that hope. She wanted to cast in her lot now with God's people. She wished to be numbered among Israel and no longer among the wicked people of this world. That's faith, you see. She had this firm hope in that God of Israel, that she too would be allowed into his favor and his fellowship, the sinner that she was. Well, she, no doubt at this point, understood well her own unworthiness. She knew now that she was worthy of being cast aside and destroyed with the rest of the city of Jericho. She was a horrible sinner, but now she pleaded on God's mercy. Swear to me by his name that I will be saved. In order to reveal the faith of Rahab, we've jumped ahead a little bit in the account that we have before us. And we've been considering now the confession that Rahab made really after she hid the spies and then had a discourse with them on the roof of her house. So we have to back up a little bit at this point in the account and understand exactly what happened. The two men of Israel that lodged in Rahab's house were not, technically speaking, spies. They did not sneak into the city of Jericho in order to find perhaps the weakest point in that city's defenses or the weakest point of the city's walls. Joshua did not send them to the city of Jericho to see how strong that city was or how large of an army Jericho might have that Israel might have to come up against. The word spies, of course, seems to imply that, But actually, the word used here in our text in Hebrews is inspector. That's what that word is, inspector. James uses the word messengers. In Hebrews, inspector is used. James uses the word messengers, which actually means an envoy sent to carry out the intent of a ruler, or in this case, Joshua. And the account here in Joshua 2 that we read, if you look in verse 1, speaks of what Joshua's intent was for these men. You must view the land. Or if we read farther on in the chapter, I want you to search out the country and the city Jericho. Why? In order that you can have a lay of the land and to see what we are up against. It literally didn't take spying on their part, sneaking around and kicking here and kicking there at the walls of the city of Jericho to find out if there was a place that you could dig under them or attack that city. They weren't interested in that. They just wanted to see the lay of the city. That was all. The king of Jericho, however, interpreted it differently. This intrusion into his city was an act of war to him. Of course, he was terrified, along with all the inhabitants of Canaan. He was terrified. And as soon as the king found out that these men had come to lodge in Jericho, he immediately set out to arrest them. It was not as if these two men were being hotly pursued by the king's men and then rather quickly ducked into the house of Rahab to hide. They had gone there to lodge, very simply. We read of that in Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. That was their purpose, just to lodge there in her house. The king of Jericho knew these men had gone into the house of Rahab as well. Joshua 2 verse 3, we find that the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country. So it wasn't as if the king said, go search out every house on the wall, because there's some men that came in and they must be hiding in one of those houses, so that the soldiers now of the king were frantically looking into each one of those houses. No, the king knew that these men had come and that they were lodged there in the house of Rahab. So he says to them, send out these men that are lodging with you. Don't you know? They've come to search out our country. Remember, the discourse to which we have been referring to show Rahab's faith had not taken place yet. This whole discourse that we talked about earlier hadn't taken place yet. That took place after Rahab revealed her faith by her works. So we want to examine yet for a few moments Rahab's works. The works of which James speaks now in his particular epistle. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab knew that these two men were Israelites when they had come to lodge with her. She knew that. She also knew why they had come. If she were still lost in her sin, she would have not received them into her house. Obviously. Unbelief would have retaliated, would have retaliated against these two men with terror, or at least with hesitation, to even allow them into your house. Either that, or unbelief would have repelled them immediately. Immediately she would have rejected him and reported them to the authorities. That's how unbelief would have reacted. But God already had worked in this woman's heart. She believed what she had heard concerning the God of Israel, and when these two men came, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, she received the spies with peace. That is to say, not as enemies, but as friends. Her intent was to shelter them, and as she soon discovered, to protect them as well from those who sought to capture them. The receiving of the spies with peace, we are told by the writer to the Hebrews, was an act of faith. By faith, she received the spies with peace. She had thrown in her lot at that point with the people of God. But then we learn more in the account in Joshua 2 that is not really mentioned here in Hebrews 11 concerning those works of the faithful Rahab. The king's men appeared at Rahab's door. She quickly brought the spies to the roof of her house, telling them to hide themselves under a pile of neatly arranged stalks of flax, and then quickly hurried downstairs to answer the door. We read of that in verse 6 of Joshua 2. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. So she hid those spies. Or at least she brought them to the place where they were going to hide so that she could hurry back downstairs and answer those who were knocking at her door. It's evident from verse 8 that before these men even had time to hide themselves in the flax, to lay themselves down among the reeds of flax, Rahab had already opened the door downstairs and confronted the men that were sent to her from the king. Again, this was an act of faith on her part. She not only received the spies, but she actually hid them from the king of Jericho. That could have cost her her head, you know. No fear. She hid the spies. One more addition to the account that is not told us in Hebrews 11. In fact, it's a rather glaring omission. Writer to the Hebrews here in Hebrews 11 and James do not even mention this particular work of Rahab. We read of it in Joshua 2, verses 4 and 5. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus to the men that were at the door, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Yes, two men came into my house to lodge here for a time. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know that they were Israelites. They stayed a while and then rather quickly left when it was dark, just around the time that the gates of the city would be shut for the night. They just left. If you hurry and pursue them, I'm sure you'll catch them. Rahab lied. She lied to protect the spies. Her faith was new to her. She did not trust at this point that God himself could protect those spies as the great God of heaven and earth. God, in his providence, however, used that lie, didn't he? He used the lie in order to keep them safe, the spies safe. The ends do not justify the means, however. Just as Shiphrah and Puah lied to Pharaoh, so also this young believer lied to the men that the king of Jericho had sent. Tonight we're not going to attempt to justify Rahab's lie. The same can be said of Rahab as was said of the midwives. And that's a quote, once again, from Augustine. For the sake of what was good, God forgave her the evil. It's striking that neither Hebrews 11 nor James 2 refers to her lie as an act of faith. The king's men departed. They believed her lie. In fact, there's no evidence in the text that they even went into the house and searched diligently for these spies. Rahab then came up to the roof and explained to the men what we had now examined in our first point. She confessed her faith to them and that Jehovah God, that was their God, the God of Israel. There was one more act of faith that our text here in Hebrews 11 does not note. James tells us that by faith, Rahab sent the spies out another way. So you had her receiving the spies in faith or with peace. You have her hiding the spies on her roof from the king's men, and now you have her sending those spies out another way. There was that one act yet that we ought to call our attention to, which was a good work of Rahab. It's recorded for us in Joshua 2 now, verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon that wall. She asked to be spared when Jericho was destroyed, and the spies promised her that they would do so. So she let them out, not through the door, but another way, and that was through the window down the outside of the wall. All, except for that lie, done in faith. All good works that Rahab performed. We emphasize that tonight, beloved saints, because our text tells us by faith Rahab did these things. And we emphasize these works of Rahab to show that her faith was a living faith. It was not a dead faith, because you see, a dead faith is a fake faith. It's a faith that says all kinds of nice things about God, all kinds of nice things about Jesus Christ and salvation, but it does nothing. That's a fake faith. That's a dead faith. A living faith is an active faith. It is a faith that produces good works in the life of a believer. If Rahab's faith were a dead faith, without fruit or without works, she would not have even received the spies in peace. She would not have hid the spies. She would not have sent them out of her house another way so that they could not be found. She would have turned them over immediately to the authorities. By faith, that is, through faith, God's people are saved. Not, mind you, on account of faith, not on the basis of our faith, but by faith. That is to say, faith is a means by which God imparts to his children the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the life that is found in Christ alone. But when that life is found in God's people, it becomes active. We know God, we trust God, and we reach out and we embrace him as our God. And we do it consciously, consciously. Then that life of Christ within us produces good works. Works that flow out of that union that we have with Jesus Christ. The works of Rahab were evidence. Evidence of her faith. And by that faith, Rahab did not perish with those of Jericho who did not believe. She and her house were saved. We learn of that a little bit later on in the book of Joshua. In Joshua 6, beginning in verse 21, we read of the destruction of Jericho. And Israel utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And then just a little bit later on in verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. Now, in escaping, speaking of her escaping the judgment of God upon Jericho for its sin, we're not just simply talking about her escape from Jericho. We speak of Rahab's salvation tonight. You see, Rahab was justified by her faith. I know James speaks of the fact that she was justified by her works. But we must understand, of course, the proper relationship between faith and works. Faith is not itself a work. Neither are works and faith synonymous with one another. The men who hold to the era of federal vision today, or the new perspective on Paul, confuse faith and works, and we may not do that. We may not. Scripture points out that works flow out of a true and a living faith. They flow out of our conscious union with Jesus Christ. In other words, faith produces good works. And when James speaks of Rahab being justified by works, he is insisting on the truth that she was justified by a living faith, a faith that revealed itself in the works that she performed. We learn in Scripture, however, that Rahab was indeed justified by faith. And that means this: Rahab's sins were covered in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were paid for by Him. Her guilt for all of her sins was removed. She was justified. But wait a minute. How could this woman, who lived long before Christ ever appeared, how could she be justified in the blood of Jesus Christ? How was it possible for a woman who lived thousands of years before Jesus did, in his death on the cross, how could she be justified by that cross? For two reasons. First of all, she had cast in her lot with Jehovah God. And God, in His grace, saves sinners. He's a gracious God. And she was saved in the Old Testament just as all of God's saints were saved in the Old Testament. Not by works, but by faith. By faith in whom? By faith in God and in Jesus Christ. But how can you say she believed in Jesus Christ? Because, beloved saints, she cast also her lot in with the nation of Israel. And who was in the bosom of the nation of Israel? Who was going to be born out of that nation of Israel? Jesus Christ. by casting in her lot with the nation of Israel, she cast in her lot with the Messiah that was going to come. And perhaps she didn't know it at that point as of yet, but she would soon learn of that Messiah who was to come. By faith, by faith, she was joined to the coming Messiah and was justified by faith. But here is the beauty of the account that we have yet before us tonight. There is no sin, beloved saints, so great that it cannot be forgiven by God in the blood of Christ. God saves sinners. A prostitute? Yes, the woman who sold her body to men for gain. God forgave her of that sin. A murderer? Yes. A homosexual? Yes. A drunk? Yes. The only sin that God does not forgive is that of stubborn unrepentance. Jericho perished in its stubborn disobedience against God and His commandments. Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe, because in faith she clung to a merciful God. She was forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that means that the call today too still goes forth to sinners, doesn't it? Still goes forth just as it did then. Repent and believe. That's the call of the gospel. Come to Jesus Christ, where alone forgiveness can be found. And those whom God, by His grace, draws to Jesus Christ irresistibly by the work of the Spirit in their hearts, God will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter how great of a sinner that they might have been. Salvation is a free, unmerited gift. And it's a good thing. Because if it wasn't, not one of us sitting here tonight would be saved. We learn in Joshua 6 that this young woman, Rahab, found a place among the people of God in Israel, dwells among them now. God, by His grace, grafted her and her family into the line of His church in His covenant. That was a rarity, as I mentioned, a rarity in the Old Testament. God took this woman who was of the cursed seed of Canaan, mind you, and made her a part of the household and family of God in this world, His church. But more, we learn in Matthew 1, verse 5, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ that is found there in that chapter, that Rahab became a mother of Christ. Christ was born out of her line. Very few women are mentioned in that genealogy. If you were to read through it, Rahab is mentioned by name. She must have married a man of Israel, and they together had a family. That family produced the great King David. And then we know that Christ is born out of that royal line of David. She became a mother in Christ's line. In this godly woman of the Bible, we find but another example of the amazing work of God's grace. It is a heartwarming tale, especially for those of us who have by that same grace been grafted into the line of God's church and covenant today. God saves sinners. God saves us. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto thee for thy word. May that word find a ready entrance into our hearts, that the things that we have again learned tonight might lead us and guide us, and that we might walk in faith, a living faith that produces good works in our own lives. Where we sin, Father, we pray that thou wilt be gracious to forgive us of our own sins. Certainly, we have no reason in the world to point our finger at Rahab and the sins that she committed before thee, because we are guilty of our own sins. And we're thankful that just as thou hast forgiven her of her sin in the blood of Christ, thou dost forgive us too. May that word, therefore, that we have learned in this evening hour ring in our heart throughout the week to come. Bless us now in thy grace. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.